All right, I would like to start off with a story of these two young boys, two young cousins, who like to go to their grandparents' house. So on this particular day or during school holiday, so the two boys said, let's go to grandma's house and let's put up a night because the grandma loves the grandson. And they were on the way to the grandma's house, so there was this night they planned to stay over. So the grandma, being a Christian, always thought this. Taught the true grandson, if you want anything in your life, you need to pray because God gives you the desires of your heart. So being there, being brought up in that environment, before going to sleep, the first cousin, the first boy, he prayed very silently, very decently. He prayed and he said, in Jesus' name, amen. And the second boy, he screamed his lungs out. Very, very loud he prayed. And the prayer sounds like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I desperately need a bicycle very badly. If you will give me a bicycle, I will listen to grandma. I'll be a good grandson to grandma. And whatever she said, I will do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, he shouted. And the first cousin asked him, why are you screaming your lungs out? Why are you praying so loud? God is not deaf and God does not have difficulty in hearing you. And then the boy said, yes, certainly, yes, but grandma does. For those of you who didn't get, the subtitle will come later on in a while. Basically, he was praying so loud so that the grandma could buy him the bicycle instead of God, okay? So today, I would like to talk on the subject of prayer. You know, last week, Pastor Rajan talked about the subject of prayer, the prayer of inquiry, and how you can actually ask God for direction. You know, before you commit into something, before you get into something, we ask God for direction. And how many of you know the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God? And it's very crucial for us believers to seek God's direction, to seek God's guidance, God's wisdom. Them, where to go, what to do, which college to go, which stock market to buy, which business should I get in. And this is what Pastor Rajan talked about, you know, last week. And I thought it was very awesome. I thought it was very dynamic. If you missed the sermon, I want you to go to the YouTube and listen to it again. And I would like to continue on that subject again because I feel there's this urgency, or rather the Lord is inviting the church to come into a place of understanding the importance and the real purpose of why believers pray. And today, I would like to give a title to my sermon. Today will be called The Purpose of Prayer. Everybody say the purpose of prayer. Now, okay, let's just pray first. Father, we just thank you for your wonderful presence. We pray, Lord, as your word is being ministered, it will fall on good ground and it will bear fruits in the life of your people. And I pray, God, that every word that's come out from my mouth, oh Father, you will be glorified by it and people begin to respond to the word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, you know, electricity is very important. Most of our house, we have electricity. The reason why I'm talking about electricity here right now is because if you're staying near Damansara Alif or Tampoy or Kempas, you'll find there is no electricity today from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Don't worry, I showered well, my clothes are ironed. It was so difficult for us is because we have a baby and we had to send him to my sister's house. It was difficult. But most of you have electricity today, right? And electricity is the flow of electrical power, where your appliances or your equipments at home will start to function because of this power that's running through the wires or running through the cables or running through the switch. Now, basically, this electric gives you power for your appliances at home. And we are very blessed because we got electricity. But this electricity, this power will not be manifested, will not be able to function if there is no point of contact. Am I right? For example, I have a rice cooker, I have a blender, I have TV, and we have aircons at home. Unless and until if I switch it on, those things will just be there. Come on, people of God. Those things will not be able to function because there is no man or no woman ever pressed the switch button. It's like the provision is there, the supply is there, the power is there, everything is there. But it will not be manifested. It will not be, you will not enjoy the benefit if you don't simply take your finger and switch it on. Likewise, in our life, we need a point of contact between us and God. Come on, people of God. We need to come to a place of understanding. See, we understand the power of God. We know the power of God. We have heard about the power of God. But many of us, we fail to see the manifestation of God's power because there is no point of contact. And the point of contact today, in my context of my sharing, the point of contact between you and God, or what God has decided or planned in your life, is prayer. Everybody say prayer. If today we will come to a place of understanding the real purpose of prayer, I'm telling you, all of you, you will know that if I don't pray, then certain things will not happen. If I pray, then something will happen. How many of you know sometimes when you pray, you may not feel that your prayer is powerful, but the one that you pray is powerful. The remote control is not as powerful as the power that's running through the cables. If you lost your remote control, you can easily buy on Shopee a multi-purpose remote control, right? Any remote control can just switch on your aircon or your TV. But the power is so important. Like today, TNB had a shortcut. We had all the remote control. We had all the switch, right? But it could not function. It's because the real source come from TNB. The real source of your answering prayer comes from God. But that power will not be able to reach out to you if I don't switch it on, all right? So turn to your neighbor and say, the point of contact is prayer. The point of contact between us and God, God's power is prayer. Where there is no prayer, there is no contact. And when there is no contact, you don't get what God has already decided or decreed over your life. Listen this carefully. When there is no prayer, there is no contact. If you don't pray, there is no contact. And when there is no contact, you don't get what God has already decided over your life. It's like someone depositing a sum of huge money into your bank account, and it stays there forever if you don't take your ATM card and put it in the machine and draw it out. Withdraw it out. Am I right? So the problem here is sometimes, most of the times, God has deposited a lot of things in your life. Come on, people of God, how many of you agree with me on that? God has deposited destiny. Hello? God has deposited desires. God has deposited His will of God, His plan, His purpose is all already there, designed, shaped, and stored up for you. But unless you have that ATM card, you can't withdraw that money. And you need to know that all we need to know is to take that ATM card, put it in the machine, and then you can enjoy the benefit of the money. How many of you would like to enjoy the benefit of what God has already decided over your life? Today, we are living a Christian life of not really enjoying the benefit of what God has and decided and decreed over your life. It's because we fail to have this point of contact. Now, as you're listening to this sermon, I want you to realize this, that God is not forcing you or not commanding you, but rather He is inviting you to partner together with Him, to collaborate together with Him, to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, to be in tune with heaven, so that whatever that's decided in heaven, it will take place over your life and in your family. Come on, somebody give God the glory in this place. Now, let's look now. So prayer is like basically activating what God has decreed over your life. That's prayer. Prayer is not simply telling God to do what He doesn't want to do. A lot of us think like that, no? Okay, when we pray, maybe we can change the mind of God. And then that wouldn't be God, right? That will be God is a freaking minded. You know, but God has decided over everything. Prayer is simply what God has decided, those things. When you pray, bam, boom, it will take place in your life. Now, watch me now. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, here it says, let your will be done here on earth as in heaven. Now, if you read this scripture, you'll find that Jesus is teaching about prayer. The verses before that is all about prayer, where Jesus will say, you know, if you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, don't use lofty words, don't just scream your lungs out and all that, but go into the room, shut the door, and pray to the God who's unseen, and He will reward you openly. And then God comes, okay, now this is how you need to pray. And then we see in verse 10, God says, the prayer sounds like this, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when you read this, you will find there is a correlation between earth and heaven now. This will lead me to my first point. My first point is, prayer is the transaction between heaven and earth. One more time. Prayer is the transaction between heaven
and earth. When Jesus said, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, it means there's a will that's already decided in heavens. Come on, people of God. Which means what God is saying, whatever that the Father has decided over you, over your life, over your church, is there, is sealed, is prepared. But those packages will only come to pass if you connect with God through prayer. That's the reason why God will tell, Jesus will say, when you pray, see, the will, God's will up there will be here as well. Likewise, all of you sitting here, every one of you, God has a perfect will for all of you. How many of you know that? How many of you are struggling with that to understand that? We all, God has perfect will, perfect plan, perfect purpose. He has assignment for all of you. How do I know that God has assignment for all of you? Because you're still breathing. Because you're still alive. The reason why we are not dead yet is because we have not fulfilled God's assignment yet. Hello? Hello, come on, people of God, talk to me. The reason why you are still alive, the reason why, you know, you're still dragging your feet probably, you're like, you know, God, where's my time coming? I don't know, maybe some of you are praying that kind of prayer. It's because there is a plan and a purpose of God over your life that's not being come to pass yet. And those things will come to pass unless and until someone or you pray about it, agreeing to what God has decided over your life. That's the purpose of why we pray. Now, most of us know we pray because we talk to God. We want to develop love relationship. We want intimacy. All that is true. But if you will take further and deeper in understanding, prayer is not just building intimacy. It is true, okay? It is intimacy. But more than that, on top of that, deeper than that, prayer is simply saying, God, if you have decided this in heaven, then I'm not just going to sit home and watch Netflix. I'm not just going to sit home and just shake my legs, but I'm going to partner with you in prayer. I'm going to toil in prayer. I'm going to be fervent in my prayer until I see those things comes to pass. How many of you know the devil doesn't like you and I? If you really think he likes you, then you're in big, big, big problem. The devil doesn't like us because why? We are a children of destiny. Hello? We are a children of purpose. God has a lot of good things designed for you, and He will cause you to be distracted. He will lead you not to pray. If you've taken man and woman of God not to pray, take away the time of prayer, he has succeeded. If you today, if you talk to any man and a woman of God, the legends of God in the kingdom, they all will understand the power in prayer. Pastor, correct. When you pray, let me tell you something. This is the time as we will approach, you know, 2023. We cannot be slack off anymore. We cannot slumber anymore. We cannot just come to church, you know, lift up some hands and go back, drop some money in the offering bags and go back and live a normal life. We need to come to a point as we enter into year 2023. Said, God, I'm going to partner together with you. I'm going to pray. I want to seek direction. I want to seek your purpose. I want to seek your destiny. And how many of you know when you pray, the Lord speaks? Today, many of us, we do not know where to go, what to do. It's because we are not praying. I hope this message is not to rebuke you, but it's to invite you. It's like a father saying, come, talk to me. Come, spend time praying with me. Because as you pray, I will show you the secrets of your secrets that I have for you. Come on, somebody say amen, amen, please. So there's a correlation now between earth and heaven. Now you may be asking, how is it possible, Pastor? I thought God is so supreme, He's so great that He can do without involvement of any man, involvement on earth. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven again. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. There's another correlation here. Here, what God is saying here is, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Watch me. Whatever you loose in earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, you see the word heaven and earth. This means before heaven could do something on earth, the earth has to do something. Stay with me. It means before heaven could release what has already programmed and designed or shaped for you, heaven has to be, earth has to be part of it. Now, when I say earth, means I say you and I. How many of you live in Pluto? No, right? We all live in earth, okay? When I say earth, it means you and I. Okay, it means you and I. When I say heaven, I mean God, okay? Unless there's an involvement or cooperation from earth, then you will not see heaven moving, because heaven will only move when the earth do something about it. Either binding or loosing, the earth has to agree in prayer. And that's the real purpose of prayer, you know. Simply agreeing on what heaven has decided. Now, there are many things in our life that takes place is conditioned by the absence or the presence of our prayer. A lot of things in our life, either good things or bad things, or problems or not problems, is conditioned by our absence or the presence of our prayer. What does it mean? It means if you would have prayed, if you would have spent some time agreeing with God, these things would have happened. But the reason you don't do this, you don't see it coming in your life. Come on, people of God. Now, stay with me on that. Now, that's why in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let's read one more time. 1, 2, 3. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests. And some version will say, do not worry about anything. Now, you know what we are good at? We are good in worrying about everything because we pray about nothing. Here he says, be anxious for nothing. But we are worry about everything because we pray about nothing. Now, but if you will understand that we should be praying about everything so that we won't have to worry about anything. Stay with me. We should be praying about everything so that we will not be worrying about anything. The reason why today many Christians live a defeated life, worry and worry and worry. Wake up in the morning and worry. You know, go to bed, worry. Because you are just worrying about everything and you're not praying about anything. Come on, people of God. If you will understand that prayer unlocks the destiny, prayer is like a gateway. Prayer is like a key that you have. Prayer is like a key towards the door that is locked, that's everything's behind the door, and prayer simply unlocks the door, and whatever the Lord has for you, it will take place in your life. So now when you know, understand the purpose of prayer is simply, oh wow, now it's so easy, right? Now, pray is so easy. Pray is not simply begging God to do what He doesn't want to do. But pray is simply saying, God, okay, if this is what you said, how many of you know what's God's desire over your life or God's will in your life? The thing is, we don't know sometimes. We don't really know what's God's plan over our life in some time. That's why in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I think it says, 5:18 or 5:17, 18 it says, pray without ceasing. You pray without ceasing because you don't know what's the will of God, what's the plan of God. You don't know the purpose of God in your life. So if you don't know, if you don't really understand, then we should come to a point to pray until we understand and we see the will of God over our life. How many of you know that God always answers your prayer, and the answer is always yes, no, or wait. There's no maybe, you know. Let's just today, Samjit, pray, God, I want this. God says, okay, maybe, let me think about it. Let me consult with my board of directors. Maybe, let me consult my board of directors and have meeting and audit and all that. No, no, no. If that's already decided, listen this. Before even you come out from your mother's womb, God has already planned A to Z. Because God is beyond time. Hello? He's beyond space. He's beyond anything else. He has already decided and planned everything. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Whatever comes in between, He is still that God. But the problem is, we are not praying, and therefore, all those things are not coming past to our life, and then we complain. God doesn't care about me, la. Look at the other person. He's living his destiny. Look at him. God always speak to him. God always direct his path. Because if you talk to him, he will tell that he will be on his knees praying to God, agreeing to God. That's the secret of your success. Come on. The secret of your success is not just going to Bible college. The secret of your success is not going for conference and after conference. The secret of your success is a man who will be on his knees praying to God. That's the most powerful weapon that you and I can have. And the devil will try to rob that away because he doesn't want you to pray. Because whenever you pray, it's like you having that key, that master key. Come on. How many of you like that master key? You already have that master key. but you are not having that point of contact. And that point of contact is prayer. Now, see. Here we see, let's now be anxious for nothing, but in everything, you know, it says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to, known to God. Now, what's the outcome of this? When you do this, what happens? Let's look at the verse follow, the following verse. And the peace. Come on, somebody. When you make all your requests known to God, see, it says all your requests are not some of your requests. All your requests be made known to God. Being made known to God. And what happened? Verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding and will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. You see, whenever I pray, or when you and I, we pray, right? Sometimes after we pray, when we say amen, you open your eyes, immediately things change? No. Right? No. But what happens when you pray? This is what I've experienced. When I pray, I don't see it coming. But I have this peace that will come in my heart because now I know I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit. I'm already in tune with heavens. So I will keep praying and praying and praying and praying until I see it happen. And when those things comes happen, I will not stop praying. I will pray for the next thing. Because you know why? There's so many aspects in our life that's needed to be prayed for. And we cannot lose focus. Turn to your neighbor and say, we cannot lose focus. Turn to your neighbor and say, we cannot slumber. We cannot slumber. Come on, people of God. We cannot slumber concerning your family, concerning your spouse, concerning your working place, concerning your career. We all need to pray. And when you pray, the outcome is the peace of God will come upon your heart. And this peace surpasses all understanding. You know, sometimes we find it hard to understand certain things. Some of you have been through that. Why this thing is happening, God? Why? I come to church daily, or not daily, every week. I mean, we come daily, lah, because we work in church. Father, we come to church, we do all these things. You know, we help the poor, we feed the poor, we serve you and all these things. And there's certain things that happen. It's like, God, why are these things happening in our life? I can't give you a definite answer. But one thing I can tell, when you pray, the peace of God will come. And you will just take away that understand the need to understand circumstances, but now the need to understand His plan over your life. And you'll be like, God, even though I don't see it, even though I don't feel it, I know I prayed already. The pressure now is on you. It's not on me now. That's why the Lord is described as our shepherd. Because you know why? The sheep has no pressure, you know. The sheep just follow only, right? The shepherd take the stick, the sheep goes here, he'll take care of the sheep. You know, the shepherd will take care, make sure the sheep doesn't fall in the drain, doesn't fall into the pit and all that. Who gets the pressure when the lion comes, when the bear comes? It's the shepherd. So when you pray, it's like you are becoming a sheep and telling God, now I have prayed, I surrender to you. Because you know why? We are not able to take any pressure. We are not designed for that. I know something, you know, if you go for TED Talks and all that, they will tell you, you are able to take all the pressure and all that. No, no, we are not able to take all this pressure. Because you know why? The greatest one who can take all the pressure is Jesus Christ. So when you pray, you know what happens? You pray, you just relax, you hold your peace. Wow. Now, whatever arrows that will come, whatever things that will come, He is there in front of me. I've already prayed. And it will change the way you think life. It will change the way you perceive life. It will change the way how you look at life because you have prayed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to pray. Okay, you have said that enough, so you must do it. Now, listen. Let's move on. Okay. How many of you would like to hear a testimony? You know, from this church, JB Church, you know, most of you know, we pioneered a work. From JB Church, we pioneered a work. In Tiram, we started with a cell group and then we moved to a church now. And as we were just pioneering this church, and of course, you know, for me, it's a new experience. You know, I've never did all this. It's a new experience. And there was one early in the morning, around 4 a.m., 3:30 a.m., I woke up and I was just weeping in the presence of God, just weeping and weeping and weeping because I said, God, I don't know. You know, I have no wisdom. I have no experience in all this. What should we do 6 months down the road? What should we do, you know, 1 year down the road? You know, so how many of you faced like that before? As a father, you know, you wake up, what do I do with my children? What's their desire? No, what's their destiny of you waking up, probably you're a mother, you know, which school should I send my son? Which school should I send my daughter? And you don't know all these things that I was telling God. God, I don't know. And there was this voice that just came upon me and said, son, you may not know what to do, but you know how to pray. You may not know where to go, but you can pray. And when I heard that voice, you know, that gave me a big breakthrough in my prayer life. You know, before this, I didn't understand, you know, I thought just pray, you know, go to God's presence and just pray and then just go back and live your life. But when I understand, you know, when I pray, what I'm doing is I'm aligning myself to the will and the desire of God. I'm aligning myself to the plan of God. And all I do was every morning, I wake up, spend time just praying and praying over the church, praying over the people. You know, we started off with just 21 people in the church. And the last week, we had 64 of them coming to church. Now, of course, because of the visiting speaker, we had more. But our regular attendance is between 40 to 50. Come on, give God the glory. And there was this one Sunday, you know, I can't say this here because it's online. But you know, our cousin walked into the church together with a friend. And of course, the first week, she wasn't ready. Second week, she came again. And then she gave her life to Jesus. She said, I want this Jesus. Third week she came, fourth week she came, sixth week she came. She's baptized in the Holy Spirit now. Come on, people of God. All this took place. It's not because that we sat together and we planned strategy. It's not that we came together and we sat down. How do we do this? How do we do that? But we understand if we want to see something happen, we just need to pray. Come on, people of God. If you want to see changes in your family, if you want to see changes in your walk with God, if you want to see breakthrough and miracles, we need to pray. As I was growing up, I had a call of God over my life to come into full-time ministry. And of course, you know, the Lord allowed me to do my secular diploma and my degree was working outside. And there was this burning inside of me that I want to come full-time. I want to, you know, be part of the church to serve in a full-time capacity. And because God has decided, I know. But that doesn't stop me from praying about it every single day. Every single day I'll be praying about it. I'm not saying, please make sure the church call me. No, I didn't pray that kind of prayer. And I just pray, God, let your will be done. Give me the endurance. Don't let my foot slip away, God. You know, because I am called. I know I am called. Don't let me be given to the world. Help me not to be tempted by the world. Help my feet be grounded in you, God. Help me to be steadfast. Help me to be faithful. Why? Because God has decided that I'm called. God has decided I'm going to be working in the church. I'm going to be serving full time. So my responsibility is to pray about it. And this is an encouragement to Pastor. I think Pastor totally forgot about this. Many, many years ago, as I was working in the City Square Tower, I received a message from Pastor Rajan. If you receive a message from Pastor Rajan, you see that name on here, everything will shivers down. It's either you do something wrong, you know. Because, no, kidding. Because that time we were part of the youth leadership. So I thought I messed up. Because I always messed up, right? No, joking. Receive a message for him. You know what he said? You know? Come down the office now. Are you... What God, what did I do? I don't know if you remember that. Come down your office now. And he and Pastor Boy park the car, I don't know where they park. They wait for me at the City Square Tower at the lobby where the Maybank is. The Maybank and the what bank beside that? Okay, whatever bank in the lobby. Both of them were waiting there, you know. I think they were wearing the PKK shirt. And I came down. I said, what did I do this time, you know? Imagine someone, come down now. The word now some more. Thank God there was no caps lock, you know. If caps lock, I think I will go toilet first. So I came and he said, the Lord is calling you now. You know what he said? Resign now. Really? Because what I think before that, 5 years prior to that, I've spoke to him. We were on the way to Kalimantan. Spoke to him on my call. And I think he took time to pray also. I also took time to pray. But because of the prayer, without me working towards it, without me striving for it. A lot of you are striving here and there. You're making things work out on your own strength. You will not succeed. But if you will just pray and hang in there, the Lord will open doors for you. And I went back to my office. Thank God my boss was a Christian. He attends Singapore Church, Joseph Prince Church. And he opens office here, save cost, I think. Anyway, so I go and tell him, I said, I'm going to resign. I'm going to give you 1 month notice. You know what he told me? He looked into my eyes. He said, no need 1 month notice. You can leave anytime because I... not because I was bad. Not because I was bad. Pastor laughing already. You know what he said? The first time when you came to interview, I knew that you were going to go full-time soon. And when you walk in, I gave you this job. Knowing that soon you're going to resign and you're going to be serving God full time. And he said, go ahead. I had a blessing from my boss, had a blessing from a senior who was here, and the rest is history. Why? Because someone didn't fail in prayer. Come on, people of God. That's what prayer will do. Likewise, there's a calling of God over your life. The Lord has called each one of you. The Lord has chosen each one of you. The Lord has prepared great destiny. Don't just sit down there and shake your legs about it. Pray about it. Spend time, invest your time in praying about it. Then you will see the destiny of God being fulfilled in your life. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Can we get the keyboards? The second point is, prayer is a participation of us with God through prayer in outworking His plan over our life. One more time. Prayer is a participation between us and God through prayer in outworking His plan over our life. In other words, God wants us to participate with Him. That's what it means. It means God wants Hugh Lawrence to participate with Him through prayer in outworking His plan over your life. It's a partnership. That's why God doesn't call you slave. Hey? He calls you sons and daughter. A slave has no partnership, you know. He's a slave. He works for the master. We are not serving for the master. We are not working for the master. We are working with Him. We are serving with Him. It's a partnership. How do I know that? We see in Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30, where the Lord says, "So I sought for a man among them who will make a wall." See, the Lord is seeking, you know, for a man who will make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. Now, what's the will of God here? If you look at this, this is how you study scripture. You try to take some points. If you read the scripture, what do you think was the plan of God? The plan of God is to not destroy the city. He says there, so that I will not destroy it. But in order for me not to destroy it, I'm looking for someone who would pray. I'm looking for someone who will stand in the gap and pray so that I will not destroy it. But sadly, I found none. Only Roti Nan I found. The Lord is looking for partnership. He's looking for someone who will partner with Him so that He will not destroy the city. Another instance we can see in 2 Kings chapter 20 verse 5. 2 Kings chapter 20 verse 5, the story of Hezekiah, you all know. "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer." Can I just encourage all of you? The Lord hears your prayer. Mothers who are praying for your children, the Lord hears your prayer. Fathers who are praying for your business, for your career, for your family, for your relationship, the Lord hears your prayer. Brother James, the Lord hears your prayer. Whenever you pray, the Lord hears your prayer. But we don't pray. Hello. The Lord hears your prayer. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Oh, what an assurance. How many of you are crying in the presence of God? Don't put down your hands. The Lord seen your tears. And the Lord says, "Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up." Now here's the story where the prophet Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and said, "You're going to die." Hello. Now imagine a prophet comes to you and said that you're going to die. You will call Joseph Undertaker. This man of God has said it, and I'm going to have a best one. And some of you probably will give a song list. This is what, yeah, true, no? Yes. Someone will give a song list. This song that I want to be sang in my funeral, like they know. Someone will say, sing one way, right? So you will prepare all this because you know what this man of God said. But how many of you know the ultimate decision is still God? Hello? Hello? Come on, just wave for me. Wave like this, like me. Very good. I'm just stretching myself anyway. Listen this carefully. And Hezekiah understood the purpose of prayer. Okay, you have said that. Hezekiah, you know what, Ivy? You know what he did? He went against the wall. And he prayed. He prayed and he prayed. He prayed. There was a partnership now involved between Hezekiah and God. I'm certainly sure God would have decided, "I'm going to send my prophet to Hezekiah to say he's going to die. If Hezekiah prayed about it, this destiny over Hezekiah will take place. But if you don't pray, then he's going to die. Likewise, in our life, so many things may seem dead or already dead because of the absence of your prayer. Now you will know the purpose of prayer. I need to pray. Pastor, now I need to pray. Hezekiah prayed. God in partnership with God. God in tune with the heaven. And the Lord added 20 years, right? 20 years to the life of Hezekiah. Come on. That's what your prayer can do. It will unleash. It will release the destiny and the plan and the will and the purpose of God over your life. So church, we need to pray. I've spoken about this before. James chapter 5 verse 17 and 18. And when we read this, we often think that, wow, Elijah prayed, you know. And because he prayed, then God didn't send rain. Because he prayed, God gave rain. It's true. But if you read 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 1, you will find that God spoke to Elijah first. It's not that Elijah changed the hand of God. It's not that Elijah changed the mind of God. It was not, you know. It was God already told Elijah, Elijah, it will not rain. Elijah prayed. After 3.5 years, Elijah, you were going to rain now. Elijah still prayed. It was not the prayer that moved the hands of God. It was not the prayer that changed the mind of God. No, it was what God has already decided. You see, God is so sovereign, you know. So sovereign that you can't change His mind. Because His mind is always perfect towards you. His mind is towards you, it's all perfect and good things. He's already decided that over Elijah. And Elijah just need to partner with God and said, God, if you said it's not going to rain, I'm going to pray. If you said that it's going to rain, I'm going to pray. What God has spoken over your life? And what are you doing about it? How many of you have received prophecies in your life before? Let me just teach you something. How many of you last week you came, Pastor Jim prophesied over you and all that? It's good. But how many of you for 31 years or 32 years, one prophecy gave of some man of God, nothing come to pass in your life? Because you heard it and you do nothing about it. If you heard a prophecy, if you heard a voice of God, you need to lock your feet on ground and say, God, if this is what you said, I'm gonna pray and agree on that. And those things will come to pass. Come on, people of God. There's power in agreement. In closing, what do you do when you keep praying and you don't see your prayer answered? In closing, what do you do when you keep praying and you don't see it answer? I'm glad you asked. Luke chapter 18 verse 1, we are done. Worship team. Then he spoke a parable to them. Jesus is speaking a parable, you know. He said that man always ought to pray and not lose heart. If you're praying over something over and over again and you don't see it coming in your life, Don't lose heart. Because the Bible said that man ought to pray. You see it coming or don't come, sister, you keep praying. Don't lose heart. Come on, stand up to your feet, please, all of you. I just want to encourage the body of Christ this evening. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, my brother. Tarry in your prayer. Hang in there in the prayer. Don't lose heart. Come on, every hand lifted up to Jesus in this place.